Hello and welcome to Agile Sustainability. Today we will talk about sustainability reporting. Businesses have a long history of doing reporting, like financial reporting, but reporting around sustainability is comparably less well-defined. Standard templates and examples on sustainability reporting is hard to find, and businesses face challenges deciding what to include or exclude from sustainability reports. To help businesses overcome these challenges, we invited Christian from Copenhagen Business School to share his research on sustainability reporting. Hi, Christian. So happy to have you join us today. Before we start with the questions, can you introduce yourself and your research to our listeners?
Thank you so much, Yifeng. My name is Christian Jespersen. I'm an associate professor at the Copenhagen Business School. I'm also affiliated with the University of Texas, Austin. And I spend a lot of time focusing on sustainability-related topics similar to sustainability reporting. My background is in payments for ecosystems and how do we create markets around environmental services. And one of those components is the way of drawing companies into this conservation sustainability discourse through reporting. And how can we grow companies' ambitions and desires to contribute and be and to move from being less bad to being more good in the service of our society? And so in that context, I have had a great privilege of working in Indonesia and Malaysia when it comes to the palm oil sector. I've engaged in other areas similar to soy or sugar. Also, I've explored rubber. And really thinking about how we can mobilize the market mechanisms of capitalism to ensure that we can continue to live on this planet.
Wow, sounds like you're super experienced in this topic. During your research, what do you see that motivates the companies to invest in sustainability reporting? What are the benefits do you see the companies get out of this?
Well, there's a very interesting dynamic about motivation when it comes to sustainability reporting, and the motivation can be external, so it can be government regulated. So if you look at the Malaysian Stock Exchange, you have really interesting dynamics that are mandated, so they have to report, versus in Indonesia, which is sort of voluntarily, right? And so, and you have different sort of starting points from which companies should engage with certification and sustainability reporting. One of the things I find interesting is from a Danish perspective, because I'm based at the Copenhagen Business School, we have over a decade of government mandated sustainability reporting. And what was interesting is the learning curve more than anything else. When companies start their trajectory to think about or their journey to think about what to report, in the beginning, most companies decide to report everything, right? They try to throw, you know, the kitchen sink in, right? Whether how many light bulbs they've purchased, the amount of energy they've consumed, their sourcing practices, potential, you know, areas of risk. But over time, what I think is very interesting is the learning that the company acquires because of materiality assessments, understanding what the financial sector is looking for, looking at understanding what their customers and suppliers are looking for. And that kind of, you know, garbage can approach to sustainability reporting where everything is in there changes to something that is much more focused. And the learning that happens to focusing sustainability reporting and illustrating impact is really critical. I think we're in a really exciting point of transformation right now, and that transformation is happening because of ESG. Environmental, social, governance, risk assessments are shifting away from traditional sustainability reporting efforts, and companies now are going through a whole new learning curve, figuring out where to showcase their risk and how to emphasize how they want to engage to mitigate that risk, and in some cases, how to contribute to making a better world.
So it sounds like the learning is getting more and more complex because the definition or the regulations around sustainability is also changing at the same time. Then what are the changes in sustainability reporting over the years do you see after the businesses have gone through this learning journey?
Well, I think what happens as they're going through this learning journey, you're seeing sort of transformations in TNFD, for example, accounting methodologies, right? So they're becoming much more adept at acquiring or ways of thinking about sort of future biodiversity or nature-based risks. So they're understanding how to recognize those pressure points. So I think one of the big things is learning where the problem is and being aware of it and keeping track of it. Secondly, successful companies are able to integrate their sustainability reporting into the company's overall sustainability strategy. There are different types of companies, and some of those companies put sustainability and sustainability reporting under marketing in a closet, and they just pay one consultant to write the sustainability report. And the reality is that the market can pretty much tell how successful that is, right, in terms of a good report, versus companies that have a really sort of clear strategy about how they wish to do good, and how they want to contribute to society, and how what their position in society should be. And as a result, their sustainability reports are much more sort of focused on and aligned with the overall company strategy. Before, we were just happy with companies designing sustainability strategies, right? We just thought that was enough. But something that's totally new is now the financial sector, because of this ESG thing I mentioned before, are now looking at these sustainability reports in a much more critical eye, because the sustainability report must also parallel the risk profile. Now, the risk profile of a company can be deforestation, it can be pollutants, it can be, you know, climate risk, it can be diversity, it can be all these different dimensions that you as a company suffer and have to resolve and must engage with. So these profiles are necessary. And if you don't sort of have a strategy from which to showcase that you're working on them, there could be consequences. Right? And your sustainability report is factored into, for example, calculating your basis point score for interest rates, for example. So you might get a less preferential rate. Or when you are trying to do a green bond because you want to, you know, reinvest and transform your business into a new green space. Green bonds are very hot right now. Maybe you won't get the same kind of uptake or interest from the market when you're issuing these green bonds. So your sustainability report is one in a factor of variables that the financial sector, for example, is using to evaluate you and ultimately gauge your performance and your commitment, your thorough commitment to society.
So it sounds like the consequences for a company to not have sustainability reports is getting higher and higher. And at the same time, there are so many ways for them to start to do sustainability report. Then how would a company approach, I'm going to start a sustainability reporting, where do I start? How do I decide what to reference?
This is a really interesting question, right? Because there are also really good consulting services out there that can get you onto the right path. And I think that's, I don't want to discount that tool. And many of the big players also, I know, whether it's Wilmar, Cargill or whatever, are also using consultants to figure that out. So I don't want to discount that. But I do think that it's something that has to be endorsed by senior management. And I think that's something that is really critical because remember I said there's a difference between companies that are sort of superficial and companies that are much more integrated. That decision and that commitment comes at the level of senior management. So there has to be a clear saying necessity to come out from the top, and they have to be able to sign and stand behind this document. I'm a big fan of the committee approach, because what happens is that in a committee approach, then you can sort of pull together resources and time, and it's not all on your shoulders, for example, if you're the sustainability reporting person. And what the committee approach should do is really sort of have people who are experts in operations or supply chain management or governance, right? Critical issues. If you have a plantation, for example, there should be people who understand and are speak the same language as the people you're going to be pulling data from. And in this committee, these people should be able to sort of come out with a vision, a potential sort of understanding of what the role of the report is, and also a very clear sort of schedule from which you want to execute. I will emphasize this right now. It will always take more time than you expect. Now, that's not because you're slow at working as a sustainability reporting person. It's because the content that you require comes from multiple different people, and you have to be able to coordinate this content, right? And that often takes phone calls or nudging emails or sometimes visiting their office to remind them what to do. So the mechanics of collecting the data seamlessly is the biggest problem. Then in the committee approach, when you have that, what happens then is that you can then sort of say, okay, what do we wish to include and how does it factor into our overall, the overall vision and mission? And you can come up and start drafting content. For more experienced and also larger companies, often what they do is they develop multiple stories for their sustainability report. There are certain things that you can't get away from, right? You'll need to talk about workplace health and safety. That's a requirement. You're going to have to make sure, the financial, or certain governance requirements are met. But other stories or other showcased sort of KPIs that you want to showcase can be tested and sort of determine which ones are, make sense. And so also leave time to figure out, figure out what to include and what to leave out. I think that's something that's really important. Many of the companies as well, they use their materiality report, which is a tool that illustrates how key stakeholders interpret potential risks for those companies as their guiding star, right? Mm. They say the materiality assessment says that we should really focus on this because key stakeholders think that this is the most important, or these are the most important topics for us to engage with. And I think that's really, really important because it maintains that you have a clear conversation with the people that are the most important and that you're meeting their needs. Yeah. There's nothing worse than a sustainability report that is disjointed or not connected to the people who are directly assessing or evaluating your company. So always make sure you have that.
Yeah. I think those are very important considerations for companies to kickstart on sustainability reporting. Then over the years, do you come across any good framework or standards that you find useful to do sustainability reporting?
I have to be honest, the number of sustainability reporting frameworks that have emerged are few and far between, or have exploded, I should say. But there are very few and far between that are very logical for people to use. Right. So, for example, at least in a Scandinavian context, in a Danish context, every company has their new SDG toolkit, right, that's going to feed into their sustainability reporting. The problem is, how do you navigate the specific indicators and targets? How do you relate them to that? And then also, how do you determine KPIs? And that's really left on the side of the company, right? So they say, this is what you should do. And then these are different tools, right? There's sort of the SDG flower. I know in the construction sector, there's different assessment tools, for example, like that. But then the person who's using these assessment tools is stuck not knowing what to do next, right? And how to attribute which are the indicators and targets I can, for example, in the SDG context, link it to. And then which KPIs or assessment tools that you can link this up with. Right, because and then they have to guess, right? And the worst thing with guessing is then you feel that you're really responsible for making sure that this ties to the company's position. I think the most successful tool will be one that will be both agile right, to the company's needs. So it can be constructed out of necessity based on their materiality report or based on their key indicators. Two, it will be intuitive in terms of, for example, navigating SDG indicators and targets from how to link things together. Three, it would propose KPIs or ideas of KPIs that can be linked to it in terms of impact. But would also let you determine how you would want to measure it. And finally, it would actually be able to plug in directly into keys or whether it is generating reports, diagrams, or other things that would then you could use for your own sustainability report. I think right now we are designing tools that are too heavy because we want to include everything. And we are, and the tech people are not realizing that companies are on a journey, right? So if you're starting, you need a way to get on board. Mm. And the easiest way to, and, well, number one, you need something that's not going to intimidate the companies because everyone is looking, you know, the example that you're given by every consultant is the best sustainability report, right? But the best sustainability report, let's say you're, you know, if you were to take, I don't know, a huge company, let's take a random company like Microsoft or Google, right? They have an army of people doing sustainability reporting. They have an army of, you know, photographers and everything like this. You get pretty scared, right? So you get turned off about how you're engaging. So you need something that's going to make you feel comfortable. Secondly, you are, when you start doing this, it has to be a product that understands that you're on a journey, because your first sustainability report will not look, it will be very different from your second to your third to your fourth. What we have found in our research is that the moment that companies start reporting, the moment they become more knowledgeable, the moment they start becoming more ambitious, the moment they can start making better claims, the moment they can actually start linking their sustainability to their market, to position in order to seek return on investment. And so we need a product that will take you on that journey from which then you can start getting this alpha from being more sustainable, right? And that's where we want to go critically. So, you know, let's come up with a new tool that's actually better as opposed to painful and intimidating.
Mm, yeah. So just now, I think you mentioned a very good point is in order to have meaningful reports, a lot of effort is spent around collecting and managing the data. Do you see any efficient ways that businesses were using in the process of collecting and managing the data?
Well, there's a lot of tools out there. I mean, there's tools in terms of, you know, time-bound reporting that gets fed into Excel sheets potentially, or tools that can be into, or there could be websites that then also plug things in directly. And I think the data management side is always a question, or even blockchain, right? Sometimes there's even blockchain exercises in this whole approach. The biggest issue will be quality of data and the management of that data. So making sure that your units or your measurements are aligned based on the format or the necessary or the sheets that you're using or the questions you're being asked. Bad data in is bad data out. So something that a program that can also verify that your fellow colleagues who are giving you this data actually input the correct data that you need is something that's critical. Data can be quite intimidating for certain people. So having a program that can also interpret different ways of visualizing or communicating that data to different types of people. I don't need to tell you that, you know, engineers and business people are two different creatures. They live in different places of the company and they speak totally different languages. And translating that is something that is invaluable, but there are very few translators that can help that. So understanding LCA, LCC, engineering sort of environmental footprint tools for a business person is sort of like listening to a whole new language sometimes, but it's really important. So having a program or having resources that can help you translate this data is indispensable. And I think that becomes sort of then also contributes to a better report, right? Because then if all people on either side, upstream or downstream of this whole company, can interpret the or feed in data, but also interpret everyone's data, then they understand ultimately how to link this to the overall company strategy moving forward.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. So I think this is a very good way to prepare companies on what is the amount of effort and then what are the things they need to consider when they start the sustainability report. Then what would be a good example of a sustainability report? I know that you were collaborating with a palm oil company on creating sustainability reports. Do you have anything around that to share with us?
Well, I mean, the palm oil sector is probably the most discussed and challenged sector in Southeast Asia. It is also a sector that has a lot of attacks on it. Even though it actually is contributes less to deforestation, for example, than soy and beef combined, right? However, there is a lot of charismatic pictures that challenge the validity of this sector, and there's a lot of very strong NGOs that attack the palm oil sector. So you're at the sort of the perfect epicenter of something bad, right? In terms of what people think. So, and if you're constantly dealing with attacks and emails and NGOs and phone calls and everything like that, you quickly develop two strategies. And those two strategies are: you don't pick up the phone and you don't put up any data online because you're scared, because then the more information you put up there, people are going to get you. Or you come up and you make sure that you have the most accurate and effective data out there, and you have the best sustainability report that's going to actually defend you, because there's nothing wrong with palm oil as, you know, this palm tree, right? It's the way that it is being grown, and certain people are not doing a good job. But if you have a company that is doing a good job, that is certified, that is meeting codes of conduct, that has specific policies and commitments, you should be able and proud to show your contribution, because the entire world would stand still if you did not continue producing palm oil, right? From soap to shampoo to chocolate bars to stabilizers to whatever, right? I mean, there's some amazing ones. Syme Darby, Wilmar, they are by far some of the leaders that are moving in this space. And I think what's interesting is also their progress that's been growing. Or developing in this in area. And I think they represent good examples of leading organizations that are reporting very effectively.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like sustainability reports is not just a proof, but also a defense layer to your business. I really like that example. I think we have time for one more question. Is what are the future trends do you see in sustainability reporting?
Well, sustainability reporting is sort of this, it's in the next phase, right? We're getting into this next phase where it's going from CSR to strategy. And I think that becomes a really important shift, right? So we went from CSR with this corporate social responsibility. What is the company doing? Then we started exploring triple bottom line and sustainability. And now we're entering into sort of how can you link this? You need to link this to the company, because you need to, there's a huge, you know, there's an expenditure that comes to this, and an effective business model should integrate sustainability into it, right? Mm. So there's this mad rush to really link it to the ESG side. So that's going to keep on growing. The next 5 years, companies, no matter who they are, will have to deal with ESG related topics. The European Union and the EU taxonomy has come up with critical rules that are exploring what is, you know, taxonomy aligned or sustainability aligned. And they started with climate. They're going to get to biodiversity. by the, you know, shortly, and circular economy, water. So in Europe, this is really important. And for the audience in Southeast Asia, you say, well, we're in Singapore, right? But the problem is that capital flows are moving in such a way that, or you have suppliers or whatever, they have to also illustrate their EU taxonomy alignment. You're going to have to do this one way or another, right? So you're going to have reports that signal and report feed into other markets. So I think that's going to happen. EU taxonomy or taxonomy-like thing initiatives are happening in China. They're also developing in the United States. Well, they're thinking about it in the United States. The U.S. is always a little slower on this. They're developing in Canada and elsewhere in the world. So it's just a matter of time, right? So it's inevitable. Your company performance will be linked to your sustainability reporting. So it's inevitable. There's no choice there.
Yeah.
The next thing is this technology rush. I think there would be one other point, and that is this hyper-monitoring debate that's going on. So you could have an X number of trace files on like GIS satellite monitoring to make sure that your supply chain is clean. Now, I'm all for monitoring in an efficient and effective way. However, there are cases where monitoring has been evaded or monitoring doesn't stop deforestation because there are other variables on the ground. I would be very careful for any company who is only chooses satellite monitoring as their only tool towards evading risk and showcasing their commitment to, for example, zero deforestation. The reality is we need to start thinking more about social sustainability. That is the one indicator in the ESG handbook that is the least developed. And they have the least indicators and companies are the least comfortable engaging with because they can't make very good claims. But in the case of, for example, deforestation, the biggest reason for deforestation are social dynamics. And we have to engage with it. So if you are a palm oil grower, you have to have boots on the ground and you have to report on what you're doing with smallholders. You have to report on what you're dealing with in terms of biodiversity. You have to think about what you're dealing with peat. And you have to start dealing all these different variables. But the same goes for any other company, any other commodity. Right? Let's deepen social sustainability. That will be the next big focus for the next 5 years.
Wow. It sounds like there are a lot of things to keep up with in the future, and it's still evolving rapidly.
If you want a job where you're going to keep on learning and there's nothing that, you know, and you're going to work with really interesting people and there's a really interesting space from which you can pull the rest of the company in, I think this is the best one. In the future and moving forward, I think it's great. I'm just thrilled also to contribute to this space.
I agree. I think this is a very useful and instructive session today. And I believe the listeners are getting a much clearer idea on how to create a sustainability report after this session. So thank you again for joining us, Christian.
It's my great pleasure. And if I could help anyone in the future, it would be my pleasure.
Awesome. If you're interested in the questions we're planning to address, please visit our podcast homepage at www.agilesustainability.org. Let's collect more puzzle pieces on sustainability together. Subscribe and stay tuned.